Okay. Welcome to the OVEX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me is the revenge getting runt that didn't know she even got revenge. She doesn't know yet. There's a story brought to you by Duonamic. Great pull up, door frame systems, and grip work. Do you want to know how you got revenge?
Oh.
Okay, so cool. This is the story.
Revenge on what?
On me.
Okay.
Okay. So when we did our relay at Farm Girl, I screwed you over by making you jump on the bike with the seat way too high and it was jamming into your back and all
Yeah.
that. So this weekend, Pure Impact hosted a strong and I went there for kind of a little tune up. I figured I'd do some judging and help out and then also have a run through and just kind of try some stuff and play around a bit. And really, if anything, go out slower and see how that paid off and everything. So I had Zach was my judge. And he's like, "Where do you want your settings?" And I told him everything I want. And I warmed up on the bike on the side and told him where I wanted the setting, which coincided with the same setting I used at Farm Girl, which is like an 8. And so all seemed good. And I went out, like I said, slower. I took a few seconds off on the row and just kind of cruised and cruised and cruised, but was going pretty good. And then I get to the bike and I sit on the seat and I can't reach the pedals. And I'm like, "Damn it." So I have to get in front of the seat to, and I'm standing up, but I also like the seat kind of forward. And so then it's like sodomizing me a little bit, trying to ride. And it was just horrible. And so I couldn't crank hard. I couldn't get a good start. I was like 30 seconds slower on the bike than I was.
So why did you get off and adjust the seat?
I don't know. I just thought I could soldier through, and the amount of time to adjust the seat, I didn't know it was going to take me that much longer, right? But it did. It did. It took me that much longer. It took me about 30 seconds longer. And
Oh
yeah, it
boy.
was very uncomfortable and very bad and all that. But I did go on to have I still went sub 14. I had a 13:56,
Well, that's good.
which kind of make in a way, obviously, is not near as good as the last run I had. But I was like, if I can screw up that bad and
Yeah.
still go sub 14, and I was not. I was not in a place of, "Oh, I'm going to kill this," or hyped up or anything like that. And
Yeah.
I was still standing after the run, at the end of it, and had a good round of burpees. I'm like, if I can do that, I'm feeling fit. I'm feeling good.
Yeah,
I
that's
just
good.
need to put it all together on race day and make sure my bike seat's the right height. But yeah, congrats. I feel your pain.
It's not comfortable.
It was pretty terrible.
Oh.
And I was like, I could get on top if I was on the seat. I could tippy toe touch the pedals, and that was about it. But
Yeah, no power that way.
so instead of a 75, I was like a one or like 100 seconds. Yeah. Anyway, it is what it is. But it was good fun, and we had a good time. Lots of the community was there. It wasn't as big as some of the other events. Like, I mean, I think their first one they had like 100 people or whatever. This one they
Yeah.
deliberately actually went smaller, and I think they only had only well, like 50 people, but it was like the community. It was the people we always see, and
Yeah.
there was
Yeah.
some new faces, but it was just nice to see everybody. And everybody kind of seemed to be in the same mood of like, let's just have a lark, just have some fun and have a good time and get ready for Worlds. And it was good. It was good fun. Get home at a reasonable time, and so it was
Yeah.
not too bad. But you were being wise.
Wise and not racing?
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, I really did not have it like I didn't feel like racing this weekend for it's I did 3 weekends in a row of racing and then I'm racing this weekend, so it just it, and it's I mean the strong is not really my jam, so I didn't have FOMO or anything even like missing that one, so I needed it. I needed a proper training weekend also, so
Yeah, I get you there. Like I felt like I haven't really had one of those. Like although I've been doing what I can and doing what I'm supposed to, but it's not quite, because of there's always been
Yeah,
something.
you kind of miss like a day or two when it comes to racings. So even if they're close. So yeah, it didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. So
Before we talk like high rock stuff, did you watch any of the Rogue games? Because we haven't talked since then, have we? Dude, have we even talked since you did Half Rocks?
No.
All right. Before we do Half Rocks, High Rocks, all that stuff, did you watch the Rogue games?
I didn't watch them. I know how they ended up, the standings, but I didn't. I just saw clips and stuff.
So I'm actually still trying to get through which brings me to my first point. I think these things are a little bit long.
It start on a Thursday and go till Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was seeing coverage throughout. Yeah, it is long. And I mean, thinking about too, the people competing, like, I don't know, they must just assume that people, the CrossFit people at that level, don't have jobs.
Well, and I think it's not even long for the competitors, I'm sure, and I'm sure that they're obviously beat and everything. But like for people like me who are fans trying to watch it, like it's a lot. Like, 2 days, Saturday, Sunday, I think would be plenty. And yeah, it just it's long. It's long. So, but there was some cool stuff. I like one, I don't know if I ever said this before, but leader on the field is like my favorite phrase.
Leader on the field.
Yeah, it's like because everybody at some point gets to be the leader on the field.
Like in their heat.
Yeah, because they say that like there could be five people in the heat finishing. Leader on the field is currently Gabby Magawa or whoever. Like, it's just like I like that phrase. It's very positive. So, you could be like dead last in your wave. Leader on the field is this. I'm like, what a positive spin.
Yeah, it's like winning your heat.
Yeah, well, it's not even winning your heat. You can be last in your heat. You're still the leader on the field when everybody else is off the field.
Oh, they're talking about the heat, just the person
Yeah.
on the field.
No, just I like that one. The other thing I noticed too is apparently CrossFitters aren't allowed to climb ropes in the rain. Maybe we need to give them some lessons because every time there's a little bit of rain, they take ropes down and take them out of the events. And I'm like, come on.
Oh, really?
They took out
That's
one.
funny.
Oh, yeah. And they took out the barbell in one event too because it was raining. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they're making like smart decisions for people's safety, but
Don't know. We climb in the rain all the time. It's a rope.
yeah, but we do one rope climb.
Yeah, whatever. What else did I see? Oh, they had these a couple of things I saw. Like they had to, I didn't get this one either. They had to put these big sandbags into a bin. Cool. Lifting heavy bags into something. Great. But they built this giant teetering bin that served no purpose that I'm sure must cause $3,000 per bin for some reason just for Rogue to make something. But I don't know. Didn't get that. I don't know. Okay. So we watched the deadlifts, right? And it's just max rep deadlifts. So when they kept put everybody through, they'd add like 10 pounds every time. Great, that's cool. Very, a lot of CrossFit people like it. Me, not my favorite, but at the same time, I can get how it can get exciting, especially when it's down to the end and all that. But it got me thinking because they were all, oh, they're lifting this much, they're lifting this much, they're lifting this much, and I know it's beating a dead horse, but it brought me back to the 5K, and I'm like, yeah, what if you guys were off by 10%? How pissed off would everybody be? How upset would all the people be if they were, oh, well, yeah, they didn't really lift 400 pounds. It was actually 382.
Yeah, that's true. They hold that to much higher regard, I think, than their 5K times. Yeah, you don't mess that up.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, just brought me back. Like, I just wish they had just acknowledged it and said, yeah, we screwed up. It
Yeah,
would
I
have been
agree.
very cool and very okay. But that's all I really got for the Rogue Games, which incidentally I am enjoying. It is good. I just haven't had
Well, we
time.
should mention our Canadian contingents that
Well,
cleaned up.
yes. Again, so do you want to plug your ears? Well, we're gonna say who won stuff.
Just get out of here.
She doesn't know. So the art department is leaving. She doesn't want to hear any spoilers whatsoever. There she goes. Okay. So Beth, you can say it.
So we had on the men's side, and I'm trying not to mess up. So Fukowski was third, Adler was second, and oh my goodness, I'm blanking on his name.
Patty V.
Yeah, Pat
Dumb.
Vellner was first full Canadian podium.
That it is unreal right now, the how the Canadians are doing.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And that almost was the games podium too.
Yes. Yeah. And we got a Canadian on the women's podium also. Emma Lawson was behind Tia Toomey and Laura Horvath. So no shame in that
Which
game.
was the podium I called.
Yeah.
Oh, and actually, it was the order I called. No, sorry.
You put Tia first.
No, I didn't. Oh, yes, that's right. I put Tia, then Laura, then Emma. Yes. Yeah.
And in the strongman competition at Rogue, we also had Mitch Hooper, who won, also a Canadian.
And currently world's strongest man.
Yes.
Yeah, and he did you see he got in like I don't know if he got sponsored by Bud Light or if he was shooting for it, but he made sure to get in a good product shot there. Yeah, I don't know if
He's
they
great
ever
with the promotions.
did you see it at all, or did they tell
No.
you're okay, you're safe now. Yeah, so right after he finished, he like went running over kind of into the in between area where the stands could be, and someone brought him a Bud Light, and he like made sure the promo shot and chugged the Bud Light. I'm like, oh, you know. Speaking of beer ambassadorships, Bethany.
Yeah, I don't have any codes yet.
Drink Athletic
Sorry.
Brew. Bethany says so.
Yeah. I'll get something.
So anyway, it's very good. We're almost through it. And I did enjoy it, but I've had so much to do and so much to watch and catch up on. And I'm a race car fan too, and there's been a lot of race car stuff going on. So that's everything is racing.
That does not entice me.
All right. So talk about your half rocks
The half
or high
rocks. Yeah,
rocks brewing.
really cool. Yeah, really cool race setup. So at Holistic, what they call it, a Holistic Athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Burlington with Maria Flesick and her partner Mike. And so it was half the distance of running, and then half of the distance or reps for all of the stations, and then using the women's open weight. So yeah, it was really fun. And as I kind of figured, the race would really come down a lot to the second half and the running. The weights were just not significant enough to make enough of a difference. But yeah, and I did race in my race like two pretty good CrossFit athletes. So as I assumed it would go, they smashed me on the machines and they smashed me on the sleds, and then I would just have to run and catch up. But so it was a back and forth that was really fun. I had Amber in my heat also, but she went down due to an injury. So that was yeah, too bad for her. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I mean, the thing too is, again, it's the same, it's that community that you're talking about with the DECA community, a lot of the same people, and then adding in a few different faces, but just such people kind of, it was raining all day, it was gross weather, but people hung out and cheered each other on. And it was heats of four all day, so it's not like there was big masses, so it did kind of get spread out through the day. But yeah, it was just a lot of fun, and the community was really awesome. And the other thing that I really appreciated about this small event was it was for charity, so it didn't cost us anything. And their charity was called Socks for Souls, so are you just something like that. And you donated a pair of socks for your entry fee, and that was it. And but as our podium, though, we all got like really awesome swag bags. And the winner, I won an entry into a HYROX. So for, and it's just, I don't want to rag on Spartan too much, but it's one of those things where you feel very appreciated that they would take the time to go out and just give the podium winners a little something. The race code was pretty awesome, but even just like some of the gym sponsors donated some product and stuff like that. So yeah, it's kind of a nice little thank you for coming and being competitive, and yeah, it was cool.
I think, and I mean, we said this before when we were live, when we talked about Spartan, like they need to stop offering prize money until they're caught up. Like, just people will respect it more. They will, it's not like, yeah, you might get two or three people that don't race because, well, there's no prize money. But everybody else is going to respect you more. And then when you caught up, then you can start going, here's prize money, and we're paying to you on the podium that day. Here's a check. Away you go.
Yeah.
And they have done it in the past, right? But they've gone away from it, and it's bothersome. It really is. And it gets us, I mean, like you said, you don't want to rag on Spartan. I love Spartan. We love Decker. We love all that. I mean, clearly we've, proven. And but it is frustrating when you can do an event like North of Seven, put on by Sylvie and her husband, pretty much with their own two hands,
Yeah.
and get handed an envelope on the podium that day.
Yeah.
You know, or from Mike and Maria, and here's your swag, or any, I mean,
And
I'm,
I probably it was probably like $200 worth of product in my swag bag, and then an entry fee, which is like Hyrox is another $200. So like
like
that's
$9,000 for a high
yeah,
rock entry. Yeah.
basically. Yeah, but it's just, and I mean, it wouldn't take that much for Spartan to do, so pay registration fee, give, merchandise, like,
Yeah. Like a free elite code would be amazing. Would be fantastic. I mean, like I even did ninja competitions where as masters, here you go. Like, and I mean, it was $50, but it was $50 that they said you'd win and you got right away. That was cool. Paid for my gas to get home. So yeah, that's an yeah, Mike and Maria put on an awesome event. They were great people. This is the first time we really got to kind of hang around with them. And they were so fun, so cool. They were really into it, and they were just interested in everybody having a good time, putting on a good event, and I think it suited. And I mean, is there things to be improved? Yes, and they will be. But this was not a serious event. This was let's have a test pilot. Let's have a good run, and let's everybody get the community out and have fun. And at the end, and sadly, you guys were not there for this part. So I was in the last wave, and we went out, me and two other guys, and there was a guy, meaning the other guy was a younger guy, much younger, very fit, incredibly fit athlete. So he and I were fairly close together for most of the run until the after the rower, when actually I got really close to him, and then I cramped up and turned into this hop along little thing. So I didn't really do that great after that. But that said, still had a good time. But the other gentleman in our heat, and I don't remember his name right now, when the art department gets back, she'll for sure tell me. He was struggling. He was struggling hard. This was definitely new for him. This was nothing he had ever done before. And we could tell right off the first run that it was like, okay, this was something that was out of his comfort zone. So when we finished up, and when we got down the wall balls, I think he was just maybe finishing the farmer carry or around there. And then later on, so he got in the lunges, and he got back, and he's doing the lunges, really struggling on the lunges. And but everybody there, and I mean, you can tell what happens because this happens every time there's an event. Everybody there is just screaming for him, just cheering for him, just doing everything we can to, be positive, to help him out, to give him motivation. He gets done those lunges, and I think there was me, Jay Fit, one of his buddies, and another guy all ran with him on his last run. And we picked up the volunteers at the end, and there was another two, and then all the rest of the people came out a little further and met him up so we could walk him into the wall balls and count him down. And the last 10, like, you get there in the wall balls. I mean, they were a mess, but whatever. The last 10, it was like everybody just screaming 10, 9, and it was so fantastic. He was so happy. And as soon as he finished, Maria handed him, I don't know what, some kind of gift bag for, the most determination of the day and that kind of thing. And I'm like, just again, another thing that just made it so cool that showed, they're there to build a community, to help grow the sport. And I thought it was awesome. It was a great event. And it was so much fun, even though it was shit weather.
Yeah, like it's just the theme of this season, though, I think.
And actually, something we should point out about what you did afterwards. So you'd ran your heat, and right now the two girls in your heat, other than Amber's names escape me, but you guys had a great race. And then noticed later on, Chelsea Grant showed up. And they were getting ready. I guess Mike was getting ready to do the podiums, and you went up and you said, "You can't do the podiums yet
Yeah.
because they may change in a moment or in a little while."
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Chelsea Grant threw down a really good deck of strong at Farm Girl, and she got into this the half rocks the day before. So I noticed her husband walk up and I was like, oh. So she was in the last heat of the day for women. I was like, nope, can't do the podium until she finishes. And Mike didn't know who she was either, but I was like, just wait. And sure enough, yeah, she snuck onto the podium.
well, her and I almost teamed up at the weekend for DECA, but she was late getting there, and I was like, I'd been there all day, and I'm like, okay, I gotta get. Rye was sick, and I had to get. I'm like, I gotta get going. So we were gonna team up and do a. She was gonna fill in for you, so we could do some trial on some stuff. But I was like, I'm tired. I gotta get going, which is too bad. I kind of now I regret it, but at the time I was like, yes, I need to go get some rest. And my butt was sore from the bike anyway, so I didn't want to have another go around with it. But she and again, she put down a good time. She ran a 13:57, which
Yeah, she's gonna be
and
a force.
another great PR for her. Yeah, she is really good. She's really coming along, so that's cool. There was some high rocks overseas, but nothing really that affected anything of the Elite 15. I mean, some people did some great stuff. I did hear that one in Ireland was one of the slowest high rocks ever.
Oh man.
Just, I guess, I don't know what the case was, but it wasn't very fast. Just course was not a fast course, even though they're all the same. And so that is what it is. But this one is the big one this weekend coming up, and you are going, correct?
Yes, I am going. Yeah.
So what you're running regular pro, right?
Yeah, I'm running the pro women's heat. Yeah.
But not the Elite 15.
No. So we go before them.
Okay, all right. So is it doing like doubles and then the pro and then they're gonna go to the grid?
So the other thing is like a tentative schedule. So I'm not 100% sure, but yes, I think so. But then they go back and then they do teams after. I'm pretty sure. So yes, the doubles, yeah, so the High Rocks, the elite women, no, they go in the middle of the day and then they do some doubles races after. So I'm not sure. Maybe are they doing the grid for sure?
I would assume so. If they're not doing the grid, then they shouldn't bother with the Elite 15 for majors. Absolutely. It should be open and let more elites contend. But I
I
sort of.
don't, yeah, unless I don't know if they're doing the grid because the High Rocks Elite Women are at 1:15 and they're starting doubles exactly an hour later.
Because that's what they had said before earlier in the year, that they would be doing the grid for the majors. And
Well, they might. Then
I
they
kind
just,
of.
everybody has to finish in under an hour 10
But I
so
just
they
look at
can.
it. Maybe this is a German thing, but I think about it as compared to a Porsche, where they put the engine way in the back, and it's kind of a daft place to put the engine in it because it makes the back end heavy and it slides around and makes it understeer not. But they kept working and working and working, refusing to do anything different but to put it where it probably shouldn't be until they made it work. And I swear that Hyrox is doing the same thing, with instead of just sending the elites first and having it done like that would make sense, we want to put them in the middle. And we're going to keep doing it that way until we can figure out a way to engineer that it'll work and make sense. And I'm like, just have them go first.
I know, but it's such a spectator thing.
And there's more spectators there first thing in the morning than at the end because everybody who's done leaves.
Well, they're at noon.
Yeah. But still, everybody who's already gone generally leaves. Like I saw it over in the UK on when I was watching the one, and there was like tons of spectators when they did the doubles. And then by the time they did the pros, way less. But what there was tons of is people on the track.
Yeah.
So I would rather them
Yeah.
see, clear track, send the elites out right, first, let them have a clear track. Let's see them really throw down, not having to knock people like me out of the way and just get a good run. It just makes more sense to me. RX1 needs to do this too. They need to send their pros first, and they don't, and they need to. But they have another same kind of convoluted logic to it that I can't understand.
Yeah. Well, I think it just has to do with adding weight as they go.
Yeah. If you want to make a pro wave, make a pro wave, worry about the rest of that crap after. All right. Let's see. So we don't have a list of who's going to Chicago. It's not,
Nobody knows.
no,
So
yeah, it's not out yet, but we're gonna guess because I think we can probably come pretty close. So I'm gonna do a share screen ideally. Here we are. So we'll start with the women. So there's people that we know will be there. Lauren Weeks, I think she's going to be there. Meg Jacoby, she is going to be there. Michaela Norman, I do not believe so.
I haven't heard.
I don't believe so. Belle McFarlane, I am told, is no.
Oh, okay.
Vivian Tufudo is yes. Miriam Von Rohr is a no. So that's what we got, three no's. You got a pen there? I had a pen. Let's write down how many no's we got so we know how far down we need to shift. So what we got? No Norma, no Belle, no Miriam, right? All right. So then we got Alondra Greenlee, I believe, is going.
Yeah, I think so.
Rebecca Mason, not sure.
I think she is going.
Okay, Rebecca Mason's going. Viola.
I don't know that one.
I haven't heard anything about Viola. Let's just say for now that she is. Let's guess she is.
Yeah.
Janae Thompson is a no. I know that. That's four. Camilla Massa is going. Christopher Glosky is a no.
Really?
Just finished WTM. She's not going.
Yeah, but she did that last year.
Agreed, but I did hear she wasn't going, so I'm taking
Okay.
it. Linda Meyer, I haven't heard anything about her all year. I'm gonna guess
Yeah.
she's a no.
She might be injured. She was battling quite some injuries last year.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess she's a no.
Yeah.
Anna Wilnow, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll leave her in there because we don't know. Tara is definitely yes. Jezebel Kramer, she's been doing a lot, and for some reason, I think she's gonna go. Even though, so she's 16. So we need five more. So she'd take one of the 16. Jacqueline Lippenmeyer? No
Don't
idea.
know.
No idea. We do know Maria Fetchek is going.
So Linda Meyer is coming.
Linda Meyer is coming.
Yeah.
Okay, so we scratch that off. So we get five that we figure are not coming. So five to be replaced. We replace two with Jezebel and Maria. Then who else? I haven't heard any of these other women further down the list. I would think if Jess Tal was going. Oh, sorry, that's Jess thinking now, somebody else. I haven't heard any of these other women that were going. Yeah,
I don't know.
I've reached out to HYROX and they're not ready to release the list yet. They said they'll be doing it soon.
Well, and the athletes don't even know for sure.
No. But like we said, we do know Maria's going. She had known since 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
And so she was 18. So I would think probably anyone, maybe a Zara or a Kate Davey, one of those two, or a Felicity Cole, I would think you'd probably see them in there. I would think that would be as far as it would get. I don't think it would get by, I don't think it would get further than Carolina Silva. I think that'd be about as far as it would get for the women. But that said, that's still a cool race.
Yeah.
And you have to really, top three go to Worlds. I think you're hard pressed to pick anyone but Meg, Lauren, and Vivian.
Yes.
Sorry, Tara, Camilla, my apologies.
Yeah, Camila's been running really well right now, though, so
Yeah,
I
she.
don't know if, yeah.
But I don't think she's there yet. You know, like Meg and Lauren are capable of going sub 60. Vivian, you know, probably up there,
Also running very well right now.
running very well. Like I could see Vivian doing a 61. I could see Tara in the shape she's in now, even though she is very much more focused on her DECA. I could still see her doing like a 63,
Yeah.
you know, somewhere around then. And I'd see her. So if I was to pick a top five, it would be Lauren, and not necessarily saying in this order, but Lauren, Meg, Vivian, Camilla, and Tara. Even though I know Alundra's up there, but Alundra's just not been competing that at that level this year. At least from what I've seen. That said, that's an all-American podium.
Yeah, maybe Maria Fesik, who is very fit right now, could sneak on there too in that top five.
Well, yeah, what she ran, she's run a 106. Like, I
Low.
mean, what's that?
A 106 low.
106 low, yeah. Like, and then compared to Tara, who right now is a 105.50. Like, you're talking 16 seconds. So it's gonna be close. It's gonna be a good race. I, you know, and with total bias, I see Maria sneaking in the top 10. Total bias, absolute
I
bias.
agree. No, but realistically, though, I believe so.
Yeah, I think she's got it too. And she's been getting better and better and better. And I mean, the last race she did, it was just a matter of closing out. She just didn't quite close out so well. And I think she's been addressing that. So hopefully that comes through. And yeah, with three spots up. Now, here's the thing. If you were in this group or you had a chance to be top 15, and let's say your name was not Lauren, Meg, Vivian, Michaela, whatever, people up top, but you knew they were coming. Would you bother going, or would you wait and go to the next one where there's more open spots?
Well, I mean, for someone like Maria, this is as close as it gets, though.
No. Yeah, I get it. And Maria's got to take it because she's not really in the top 15. But let's say you're a Alundra Greenlee, right? You're sitting there, you know, you got a you're sitting seventh, maybe aren't at the peak, you know, at your peak, but you could be a little further down the road. Chances of beating Lauren, Meg, and Vivian probably aren't there for you this time. But if you wait and go to something further down the road, and those three are there, they don't really don't matter because even if they take the podium, it's the next three rolled out.
Yeah, I mean, I think you shoot your shot. Like, 'cause you also don't know the kind of shape that they're in and like
They're in
maybe.
phenomenal shape.
Well, but you don't know if
Yeah.
like people can get secretive too about injuries and illness and you don't always know for sure. Not just 'cause they have been in great shape, you don't always know what's going on. Like maybe they get a flu 2 days before or something. Like you kind of have to take your chance.
Oh, speaking of that, Dylan says his kid made him sick this week. Did you see that? Oh,
Yeah,
boy.
so there you go. Like that kind of stuff happens.
It's just an ad to never have children. Little flu factories.
Work a job outside of your home around people.
Yeah, don't do that either. Yeah, no. So, do you see any? But do you see it any very different though? Do you see anybody sneaking up there and
No,
unseating one of those
no.
top seeds?
No, I think that that's pretty. That's a fair assessment.
It is interesting that the only person that has sneaked into the top 15 in the women's field so far is Camilla. That's it. For I don't know how many races have happened so far, but that's the only one who's broken into the top 15. So, all right, she's back. What was the gentleman's name who was the last one done the half rocks when we all cheered for him?
Showing.
Shewan?
I think that's right.
Yeah, something along that line. That was his name, Shewan. Shout out, Shawn. Great job.
Joan.
Showing. Anyway, he's a fan for life. He's coming back. Just to jump around. Yeah. It's gonna be a good race though. I'm gonna enjoy watching it. I'm gonna be comfy on the couch, feet up, watching everybody suffer. All right. See if we can figure the guys. I think the guys is actually gonna be a little easier. Well, maybe not. Actually, that was a pretty big roll down. All right. So we know Hunter is not going.
Why?
Because he's Hunter. Doing Hunter stuff.
Okay.
I think he is planning to do some other one. I think he plans to do three High Rocks this year. And he's already done one. I think he's planning to do DC and Worlds.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's a lot of confidence, but he's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I believe Ronkovich is going, but I'm not sure. And I've heard Tobias is going, which surprised me.
Cool.
Kent and Megita will both be there.
Yeah.
Tim Vinich, I do not think so. Joffrey Vozine, I don't think he is. Incidentally, I watched Spartan Trifecta Weekend, and one of the rabbits' name was Joffrey Vozine. I don't know if it's the same guy, but I thought that was interesting. Jonathan Wynn, I believe, is. You know about Graham Holiday? Have you heard about him? Is he going? No, not going.
I haven't heard most of these guys. Like, just, I mean, Rylan's going.
Tom Hogan, I believe, is not, because he was supposed to not be doing individual competition this year. I could see James Kelly going. Ooh, flying gassed. I think the biggest one here we know down here is. Did we talk about Michael Sandbach again? No, we haven't mentioned his last race, did we?
No.
Okay, well. When we put out their last race, him and Rylan going head to head. Sandbach really putting on a showing up into the burpees, cruised the burpees at full tilt, and went for a walk. Just called her a day in a style that only Michael Sandbach can do.
So he didn't finish?
No, he walked off. He's done. And this is like, I think the third time or fourth time something's like this happened. So he had the one time he got the wall balls, was in second, was in first when he got there, got past, still solidly in second place, maybe less than 30 wall balls left, and walked off. Then he went to another one, pretty much got there, got ready to start, and left. And then we also saw the one where he got really mad and punched the standard on the wall ball, but did manage to get back into it. And then this other one where he went out too hot and walked off again, allowing Rylan to get the win. And by the way, we never even mentioned, like, Rylan with a great win and getting into the 10 spot, which is absolutely fantastic. But actually, if you look, I think Rylan's time, it might be the fastest this year since World Championships.
Okay.
It's right up there anyway. Because all these other guys, like Vinich hasn't raced, Vozine hasn't raced, Jonathan Wynn has raced. So, but I think that's his time from last year, that 56.58. And same with Graham Holiday. So I think Rylan Shadeg, I think that was the fastest time this year so far. So anyway, so yeah, Sandbach, I don't think he's going. And I heard Bo Willis, I don't believe he's going either. What we do know about fill-ins, though, Dylan Scott is going.
Yeah.
And Rich Ryan got his wish, got his roll down. He's in the big game.
Oh, wow. So that one went way down.
Yeah, down to 23. I don't know if it went any further than that again, because
yeah,
who knows. But I'm thinking it may have, as they haven't announced it yet. And the same with the women.
Yeah. Well, that's so good, though. Shake some things out.
But I think so. When they brought out all these extra majors, right? Instead of having just the two majors like we had last year, they now have what, four and a last chance qualifier, or two last chance qualifiers, something like that. So now it's going to be harder to fill these fields, and that's why, again, another reason they should have just made it open. Open, and you know, Dylan has changed my mind to you having to have had a minimum qualifying time. So say for men, sub 65, for women, sub 70. You know, just so that you're one, it still leaves some importance to the other races, and two is that your field is still at least an elite field. So I think that would have been, would be the way to go. But because I think this system clearly isn't working. Anyway, who do you think takes this one?
Well, I mean, Ryan Kent's chances look pretty good. But I don't know. Ryland's on a roll right now. I think it's going to be a – I'm going to go for Ryland. He did race this past weekend in Greece. And he seemed to be recovering pretty well because I think he posted a video doing lunges in the airport. So
obviously he's describing the Dylan Scott's training program.
So I don't know. I mean, Ryan Kent, Rylan. I mean, if Dylan can fight off this flu, we know Dave Magida's kind of been struggling with an injury, but I mean, he's not one to be counted out either.
No, no. And I think that the problem with him is his injury is kind of like, it's like spasming, right? So it's sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. It's a crapshoot. It's a roll of dice. So if he's feeling good and healthy, he's a podium threat. If he's not, he's a threat for 15th.
Yeah.
So it's just going to depend on how his back is that day. Now, you know, you talk to him and he's always confident. He's like, nope, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. But we'll see how it holds up. I'm actually going to go with Ryland too, even though logic says no, because he's been doing so much, but he is so hot and so fit right now.
Yeah.
Like, he is on a roll of all roles. OCRWC, Alpha Warrior, and like we said, Trifecta Greece, which we didn't really talk about, but that I think it really is, should be the world championship for Spartan.
Yeah. I love the format. I love it.
It's so cool. And it is what Spartan is. It's the sprint, the beast, and the super. It's all of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just looks so well run. It looks like a great course. I know Ryland's always on there saying it's his favorite race.
It's great. I've heard many people who've gone say it's by far their favorite race experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Basilico, is that, did I say it right? I don't know. Anyway, comes away with the win and just looked great doing it. And it's not, you can't say he didn't beat anyone because he beat Ryland, he beat Atkins, like he beat some big dogs. Yeah. And then Lindsay just smashing everybody.
Yeah. Well, she did come second in the super. It was pretty close still.
Well, yeah, but then she won it all by 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she came second in the super and good for, oh my Lord, what's her name?
Janka?
No.
Or was she third?
I think she was third. It's the woman with the really short stride. She's almost walk running. But she can do it so fast. And she's good on the obstacles too. Anyway.
Yeah.
It'll come. It'll come to me. But yeah, I mean, Lindsay just cementing the legacy even more. Because that was the only big one she hadn't won. Like, I think that one pretty much means she's won everything. That Savage Championship, maybe.
Yeah, 24-hour race, maybe. Has she won one?
I don't think she's done that. She was great on the 8-hour ones, but never. It always seemed the 24-hour one just kind of eluded her.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about that one, but it never. She couldn't get it done. It seemed like she got 8 hours. She was awesome. And then just slowly peter off after that point. And that's when people like Allison Tye or Rhea Coble would take over. But that said, she's just unreal. Unreal. And I even watch and I give her kudos because her obstacle proficiency on the end on what is one of the harder Spartans rigs looked really good. She was solid on it. Looked really good. So congrats. Anyway. Hi, Rox. Hyrox. Are you so how you feel? How you feel? You ready?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I'm really ready for a taper right now. I've been smashing it pretty hard the last month or so. So yeah, I really just need, I'm excited to just taper a little bit right now, but yeah, I feel ready. I've had a really good training block, so I don't have any real concept of a time goal. Just to feel good and to run a smart race and not blow up on the sled pole.
All right. Well, yeah, you got to tell the backstory. You got to tell the backstory of what this race is for you.
Yeah, so Chicago, I guess it would have been 2020. It was before lockdowns, January, I think. And I went very underprepared, mind you. I was really just kind of training for Spartan, and then we put in a little training block because this Hyrox thing looked pretty cool. And I'd never trained on, I put in a tiny bit of training on a ski erg. I would go to a gym like 40 minutes away, and I'd pay day passes to use a ski erg because we didn't have them. And I would push the sled at the weight that, but I never actually did a sled pull in any training. There's not a lot of setups where there's a sled pull with a rope, just with the TRX straps. So I would do that a little bit, and I just kind of thought, you know, if I can push it, it's the heavier of the two. I should be able to pull it. It'll be fine. So I went in it extremely naive, and I was having a really good race actually until and I remember like Lauren Meeks was there. And even the sled push went pretty well. I think I was in fifth or sixth place in the pro women, and then I hit the sled pull and I could not move it. So, and this was also they, so now all of the sled stuff is a 12 and a half meter down and back, and you do four. This was when it was just 25 meters and 25 meters. So the slack in the rope was insane. So to start the sled moving with that much rope slack was like it just didn't move. And I was moving it like 4 or 5 inches at a time. It actually almost took me a whole length till I realized that we were allowed chalk. Coming from this Spartan world too, I was like, chalk's not. So people started yelling at me to grab chalk, and I tore my hands pretty bad. The Hyrox ropes are like this weird vinyl that's like really awful on the hands, and so I had so my hands were bleeding, and I was like shoving chalk in my hands to stop the bleeding. And yeah, so the sled pull took me just an absolutely insane amount of time. And then just mentally, I was completely messed up after that. I messed up the order, which I mean, that happens to people anyways on their first one, especially. So I did mess up the order with the farmer's carry and the rower, so which gave me another 3 minute penalty. Yeah, and I finished, and I was like, I am never doing that again. Never.
We'll never drink tequila again.
Yeah, I was like, this is just too heavy. I'm too small. Like, this does not suit me at all. I was crying. I was like, this is awful. I'm never doing this again. And that lasted.
You got an age group podium there, though, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I did. It was just, I just felt like I spent the whole time being like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. And a lot of it too was just like the unknown and not training for it properly. I still was able to run really well. Like, I think I had the third fastest run split of the day, but I just could not do the stations. Yeah, so I was just like, I'm never doing that again. And I kind of didn't think much about Hyrox. And then last year I did a team race with Jeff, and just because I was so scared, I was like, I have to go in and just move the sleds again so that I know I can do it. And obviously my training has changed a lot in the last 3 or 4 years. And with just training more specifically for hybrid stuff and lifting heavier and focusing more on just getting stronger. So like 4 years later now almost, I'm a different athlete. Yeah, so I'm excited to just go and not feel completely defeated by HYROX.
Are you going to do the doubles too, or are you just doing the individual this time?
We're gonna do both.
Yeah, w but which is first?
Oh, my individual. I wouldn't do it if
Right.
the team was first, but I didn't. It's not really was not my plan actually to race doubles, but my other training partner, Trevor, the men's heat sold out, so the only way he could really race was if he ran doubles with someone. So here
Oh God.
I am. But I told him he has to do the bulk of the work. I will run.
We're just going out for some intervals.
Yeah, 1K intervals.
All right. So now you're back. You're back in it. We're gonna give it another shot here.
Yeah.
But you say you don't have a time guideline. You don't have other than beating your last one.
I mean, I hope I really beat my last one. Yeah, I don't even really want to say, like, I mean, under 120, I think would be good for me, but like I would still like to be a little bit faster than that. So I don't know.
I honestly, at my odds, I'd put you under 115.
Yeah, well, don't say that. I'm like super nervous just even talking about time. So
Don't
I
be
don't know.
nervous. You're going to have your own event to do your own thing. I'm
Yeah.
just saying that's where I would put you
Yeah.
because.
That would be like a goal is under 115. Like I figure in my head I shouldn't be upset under 120. It'd be taking 10 minutes off my time, so.
But after seeing you pull the sled at the half rocks. Even though it's different, it's not the
Yeah.
same.
Yeah.
But seeing what you did there, I mean, I don't think you're in for a repeat occurrence of what was there last time, and the rest of
Oh
the
no.
sessions
No.
aren't going to be a problem for you. You're so much stronger for lunges, for burpees,
Yeah.
for your wall balls. I mean, how many wall balls had you done before the last one when you did the first time?
Like a couple
Like you,
hundred, but
so
now,
a couple hundred, yeah.
yeah.
So I'm just saying, I think you're so much vastly more prepared that you're going
Yeah,
to be just fine.
exactly. Yeah.
You know, and it would be interesting to see you. And again, if it was open, it would have been nice to see you would have been able to compete with these ladies and see what it's like, see where you're at.
Yeah.
It's been
Yeah.
fun.
Open would suit me a lot better, but that's for me, it's not really the point of why I'm racing this weekend, so.
I go back and forth with the HYROX Open division as to how I feel about it. I'm like, is it just a separate, is it a different race? Of equal merit, or is it
Well, they
just,
don't treat it that way.
but sometimes they act like they is, right? And I mean, it is a different race and it suits different people better. Or is it just kind of like your entry race? I don't know. Because like I get a bone to pick with Spartan about it when they do it, when they treat the sprint as, oh, well, because it's shorter, it's the easier entry race. And like, no, it's supposed to be faster and just as hard and put more obstacles in it. So should HYROX Open just be the faster version? So you got to be able to run faster to get through it because you know these stations aren't going to slow people down as much. I don't know. I go back and forth as to how I feel about it. I know if I get it, I do individual. I'll do the pro weights.
Yeah.
I'll probably actually do the ruck. So just because why not?
Yeah.
And the Plainsville, I'm not going this week because hotels are too bloody expensive and Dallas is costing enough as it is. So,
Yes.
yeah. I don't know. It's just too much money to go to Dallas or to go
Yeah.
to Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully there'll be one here, maybe in the fall. Then we won't have to worry about it.
I think so.
I hope so. I would like this should be it'll go over really well. You
Yeah.
know, it's building. It'd go over good. They'd have good numbers. They'd make money. We'd have an event. Could stay in our own beds, that kind of thing. But other than that, the one thing we did we haven't talked World's Toughest Mudder, did we yet? We'll get out of here. We didn't mention that yet, did we?
Nope.
So how does a 200-pound dude training for high rocks when world's toughest mudder?
I mean, this is like Austin's been here before. He's always doing the crazy long stuff, though. Like, he's no stranger to the ultra endurance events.
No, but I mean, what he did was pretty impressive. I mean, 105 miles and winning that thing when, I mean, like when you talk to the guy, I don't even think he barely mentioned it. Like it was barely on his radar.
That he was gonna do it, yeah. And I mean, maybe that was part of it too, is he just went out to have a good time. And
He does that with every, that's what he does every race.
well, he's really focused on trying to get in the top 15 for high rocks.
Yes, he is. And that's why I find it so funny that he goes out and wins WTM when he's raced it a few times before. And yes, has been on the podium and nearly won it the 1 year, and it was 2016. But yeah, he finally got it. And I was so impressed. We were following along and it was very exciting. And I mean, Austin is a two team OFX guy. We're super, super proud to be associated with him, and you know, couldn't have picked a better dude. But wow, just unreal. What I have to admit, there is no event nearly that long that should be nearly that boring, and yet at the same time commands my attention through the entire thing. And I
Well,
cannot
it
tell you
helps that
why.
they introduce new obstacles also, so there's things that like are new as it goes.
And the penalty loops were more difficult this year.
They were long.
They were, and I think that played into Austin's favor big time, because Austin doesn't fail a lot, and I think that helped him take the win was his ability. He probably didn't run near as far as some of the guys behind him.
He ran less miles than people who got 50.
Yeah, he ran less miles than people who got 50-mile bibs. Yeah, just because. Yeah, I'm sure he didn't do like I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't do any penalties. So yeah, Austin won, Chris Roglosky won again, not getting 100 miles this time, but got 90 miles. But she was not, I don't want to say she wasn't dominant. She didn't run away with it this time. Callie Schweikert put in a great effort.
Also hit 90 miles, I believe.
Yep, she did. She did. And she's been someone in that ultra scene who is slowly getting better and better, but she's like the Vivian of the ultra scene. Just slowly getting better and better, better each time. So I'm like, Callie of 2024, 2025 is going to be deadly. She will be a true force, not that she isn't now, but she will be even more of a force to be reckoned with. So it'll be fun to see. And I thought this year, I mean, obviously they got good weather. It looked like a good event. Some of the stuff seemed less goofy, which I liked, but there was still some goofy stuff which I didn't like. And I just get away from it. Make it real. I'd be so happy. I don't know if it would make it worse or better, but I still say, even after watching this one and think this one was better than anything since 2017, 2017 was still the peak to me. It was still the best race setup yet. When penalties were vicious, but they weren't goofy. They were just long ass run penalties. Did not want to fail anything because you were anywhere from a half to a mile a penalty on it. And I mean, famously, that Funky Monkey penalty was 3/4 of a mile plus Arctic Enema. I was just great. Fantastic. And then they had that one. So you would have that obstacle followed by another obstacle called Hanging Tough, which was like literally 100 meters away. A lot of people failed that one and had a big penalty. And then Kong Infinity, which many people failed, which had a half mile run penalty. So all three of those right in a row, and you could pick up an extra 2 miles on your lap just by failing those three obstacles.
Yikes.
So that was vicious. I liked that. That made obstacle people happy. So anyway, and then they announced Central Florida for next year, which theoretically should be warm.
I had thought that they were keeping it in a consistent location, but
Well, I thought they said they, because they did say that, but I thought they were going to say that they were going to do that for the next year. So not the year after what just happened. Maybe they are. Maybe this new spot is going to be it. My guess is it's going to be in Kissimmee, Kissimmee, which is about 30 to 40 minutes outside of Orlando. And reason being, well, one, Obstacle Racing Media put that it would be in Orlando-ish. And two, I do know Tough Mudder has had races in Kissimmee many, many times. And I've actually, Kissimmee? Kissimmee? I don't know. I've actually been to a Tough Mudder there. So I tend to think that's the other one. And the other location you thought was maybe was Mulberry?
Mulberry.
Mulberry, which is closer to Tampa, but still in Central Florida, probably 2 hours from Orlando. So we're guessing one of those two spots. And this is literally a shot in the dark guess, just going with the clue of Central Florida and Obstacle Racing Media saying Orlando-ish. But either way, both of that would be very cool. But the one thing, if it is there, you are not likely to get is a lot of elevation. Like when I did that Tough Mudder there, was great. I had a good time, but it was flat. Like there was not a hill to be found. So what I'm thinking though is if they do it there, it's going to be flat. It's not very muddy. So it's going to be fast, which could put in some great records and some good people. If you're chasing your bib, it might be a good shot for it. And I think that's okay. I think there's nothing wrong with a flat, fast course for World's Toughest Mudder with some good obstacles. I think it'd be fantastic. Let's see him rip through it. Let's see how many, let's see a 125, something crazy like that. Let him go. So hopefully it'll be exciting. And it's going to be November 9th through the 10th. Not bad. And OCR Report did a good job of the coverage this year. It was fun to watch. I'm impressed with Francesca. That girl can commentate all night, just keep going. I couldn't do that. She does great. She's got a real skill. So yeah, lots of stuff. So you're ready? You're
I'm
psyched,
ready.
you're packed, good to go, cars loaded.
No.
Well,
I will be ready.
very excited for you. I will be watching. I know we probably won't see yours, but hopefully maybe someone will take a video and put it up there for us. But yeah. Good luck to everybody going, especially Tara Jackson, Timo FX for us, Dylan Scott as well. And then all our other favorites like, Lauren and Kent and Alondra, Vivian and
And
all
our
these other.
first Canadian female in the top 15.
Well, she's going to win. She's going to win.
Maria's gonna win.
Yeah, sure. I've changed her from top 10 to winning.
That would be awesome.
That would be, but you know what? Maybe one day, maybe it might not. Okay, let's be honest, Chicago might not be her day yet, but she is getting better and better and better. And I mean, just to have our first Canadian in a top 15 is awesome. And we're really proud of her. And her, we will be watching very closely, cheering her on in person and online. So go get her, Maria. Give him hell. And that's it. Beth, you got anything else for tonight?
No, I think we talked long enough today, but lots going on. So, yeah, all the best to everyone racing this weekend in Chicago, and I will see you there, and we will give Dave all the FOMO.
That's right. Lots of FOMO, lots of videos, lots of pictures, all sorts of cool stuff. Good luck, everyone. Talk to you later. Take care.